hearts of every spiritual Christian here. Last Wednesday morning, seven of us brethren had the privilege of going to the Federal Office of Equal Employment Opportunities Commission and meeting with their attorney in the Los Angeles area, Mrs. Barbara Schley. We had a most thrilling and a most interesting time. It came as a result, so far as I know, of Brother Kenneth Yott, to some degree, having his affection stayed on things above, not on things on the earth. We were able to give a testimony in keeping with that, declaring the fact that where Brother Kenneth Yott said, I will not join a labor union in order to keep my job and the benefits that come from labor union membership because of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I love, because I value eternal riches more than the riches of earth. And some of us with him were privileged to go. We had explained to us, first of all, some of the legal aspects involved in the case, some of the situation that this lady lawyer was faced with. And then she questioned us and allowed us to present to her our spiritual position, our reasons from the Word of God. She was trying to understand, and in more than one case, she would say, well, now, how can we boil that down in terminology that would be simple to express? And she allowed us to tell her how we best thought something could be expressed. When we had talked for about 2 hours, bringing out various things of experiences of years gone by, as well as the truths from God's Word as to our position, she got on the phone to two attorneys with the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission in Washington, D.C., and began to tell them about our testimony and to explain to them how the night before she had spent 2 hours thinking about Brother Kenneth Yott's case and telling them what she believed they should do legally. And she said concerning North American Rockwell Corporation and the labor union, when they hear this, they'll flip. This will destroy them. And she got on, before we were through, she wanted Brother Dalford Todd's go-ahead in regard to, and wanted him to proceed too, in regard to Kenneth's case, and got on the phone to him. And among other terms she used were this. There's a brilliant consistency. Brilliant consistency. And she used the word purity and was apparently thrilled with the clarity and simplicity of the case. And we were rejoicing when we heard those responses from that lady attorney. And then I was privileged to talk to Brother Dalford just for a moment after she got off the phone to him and to hear him say, yes, I believe this is the course we should follow. And she's, in thinking ahead, thought of the legal moves necessary to save time, to save expense, to get action, and to go ahead with this case. Though that federal bureau ruled against Brother Kenneth earlier when appeal was made to them, she said, I believe the commission was wrong. And she explained, a Seventh-day Adventist attorney who talked with her earlier, explained to some of us the other night that she's laying her job almost on the line. But she has said, I'm not dependent upon this job for my living. Her husband is a well-known attorney in the Los Angeles area. But she's trying to do her job, see that there's equal employment opportunity and no discrimination because of race or creed or religion. And she believes Kenneth Yott has been sorely mishandled and mistreated in the way in which that he lost his job. One of the things that impressed her, apparently as surely as anything else, was that not only does Kenneth say, I do not believe I should be unequally yoked together with unbelievers in a labor union organization, But I do not believe I should be unequally yoked together with unbelievers in a religious organization. And she spent time trying to explain that to these federal attorneys back in Washington, D.C., while we were listening there in the background as she talked on the phone. It was a most thrilling experience. Any other brethren there want to take just a minute maybe to mention something that you think would be...
She wasn't a wonderful Christian. She claims to be an atheist.
Yeah,
that was what surprised me.
Yeah, she claimed to be an atheist.
Evident honesty. And she said the government makes mistakes too, and they're going to have to admit it.
Yeah.
The thing that impressed me was this. I believe that she made it clear. She said, I don't agree with your philosophy. But you can have a knowledge where she's so appreciative of the arguments that we have to present. And but as she listened to one testimony after another to the beauty of Jesus Christ, and I believe that she was face to face with some of the Almighty, and I believe she was impressed.
Yes, she was.
She didn't comprehend it fully, but I'm sure that's what happened.
Amen.
Personally, despises him personally. She can't help but appreciate his wisdom.
Yes. And to whatever degree she knows him and despises him, maybe better acquaintance will change that despising part. At least we are hoping and praying so. That's one of the reasons we're going into this, is to testify for Christ to people like that lady.
Early in this session, he was given the large tax case book in answer to some of her questions, and with some explanation concerning his conduct. And she said, oh, this will help me greatly. I'll study this very carefully. And then later, Will commented that on the fact again, say it before, we commented again on the fact that we are interested in this case as an opportunity to testify to Jesus Christ. And concerning the matter of the court hearing immediately. And she said that we can speed things up and we can save time. And the girl said, well, the only thing I think that would interfere would be that it might interfere with our opportunity, and an opportunity in a court hearing to witness to Jesus Christ. And that's our purpose. And she said, well, she said there would be just a few people in that courtroom. But she said, when you have another book like this, she said, think of how much farther it would reach you.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't know that happened.
Amen. Amen. You've heard of time bombs, you know. Seeming little insignificant ticking things, but all of a sudden there's an explosion. Unexpectedly, by some. Well, the Christian life, though it may be in all moderation and modesty and seeming insignificance, yet when it comes to the real battle, where the devil's got all his guns trained, it proves to be God's great atomic cannon, atomic bomb, hydrogen bomb, that does the work that he wants done. Right? We should be thrilled to think of things like that and opportunities that are presented. Brother Earl?
I was amused at her and telling her the story of how he had worked for this company for 22 years, lacking 15 working days, and she had impressed her that he was willing to give up the, some several hundred dollars.
$700 to $800.
That it didn't mean as much as his testimony for Christ. And also that after he had been, his job had been taken from him, the company had to hire somebody to do some special work over there. And she took over 10 minutes to tell these men over long distance telephone about it. It impressed her. And she said he had to be paid four times what he would have had to have been paid if he'd been kept on the payroll, and had to have a guard standing over him all the time he was working because he was in a defense plant.
Kenneth was called in from the company he got a job with after he left them. That company was called to service the machines that Kenneth had been servicing, and they had no one else after Kenneth was gone to do the job, and he was working for the company they called, so they said, well, we've got a man here that is familiar with that and familiar with the plant, and so they sent Kenneth. But back again, this one point that Earl mentioned. Brother Kenneth, 15 days, if he had stayed with the company that much longer, would have got a $700 to $800 bonus. It was suggested, well, why don't you join the union just for 7 or 8 days? And then you can resign afterwards. But you'll still get that bonus. Kenneth would not do it for Christ's sake. He valued treasures laid up in heaven more than such things from compromise on earth. Yes.
She questioned about whether we were soliciting the Seventh-day Adventists to file a brief.
Yes.
And we told her no. And she asked, well, what about her?
Oh, very good. Very good. Thank you. I'm sure this is an important area. We have been approached, as I mentioned, I think, last Sunday, by the Seventh-day Adventists who want to file what they call an amicus curiae brief, a friend of the court brief, in Kenneth's behalf. They want to play big brother to us. Just a written legal brief saying we too believe this man, that his civil rights were violated. We made it plain to them that we do not solicit their help. We have, Brother Alfred Todd has prepared a letter, sent a copy out, some of us went over it and made some suggestions of variation, but essentially saying this, that while we do not solicit your help, yet if God allows and you see fit and the court accepts, we in the final analysis, we haven't any control, but it's up to the judge whether he accepts such a brief or not. We wrote that we will not actively oppose such an action. We do not want the testimony confused. We do not want in any publicity to be identified with Seventh-day Adventism. We want to be identified with Jesus Christ in his name, and that what we do is in his name. So we tried to be very careful, and Brother Dalford sending this letter to the Seventh-day Adventist attorney. But we mentioned this to her, and she said, well, you'll accept the help of the Equal Opportunities Employment Commission? We said, yes. Well, what's the difference? We explained that in God's Word, we're told that the powers that be are ordained of God, and that there's no power but of God, but that they are the ministers of God to us for good. So I said, you folks are our ministers, and God says that we're to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and avail ourselves of appealing to Caesar and the offices of Caesar, or words to that effect. And she said, I see that. I can appreciate that. Anyway, she wasn't hard to convince. She was honestly trying to get the truth and get it straight from us as to what our position was. And those words that she used when she finally talked with Dalford about the brilliant consistency and the purity of our position and our testimony, she seemed to be almost gloating, glorying definitely in the case. I was privileged, too, to hand to her a tape-recorded copy of a tape that was made in 1967 in Brother Dalford Todd's home by Brother Maurice Johnson. Bob Thompson was with us at the time, James Cox, Jack Langford. I was there. Brother Bill Tedford was there. Dalford was there. Brother Joe Agee was there. We made a tape recording about our position on labor unions, about our attitude toward those who try to preach among us and still retain labor union membership, and gave many things from the Word of God, and also included a list of names. We mentioned the names and gave a little of the circumstances of many of those who, beginning 30 years ago, when Brother Marcel Jean Sr. refused to join the labor union out at the Riverside Cement Company out near Riverside. We went over as many names of people as we could remember and had it all on this tape. We gave her a copy of that, and we hope she'll go over it and will recognize that this case is not something new with us. The position we take is a consistent position. Consistent not only as to that the principles involved, we endeavor to apply them in other areas, but it's what we have consistently followed for many, many years. And we were privileged to bring out to her how that when Brother Wilbur and Lyman Johnson were threatened, we got to organize your shop. They said, no, we don't. We don't have to sign a contract with you. Yes, you do. No, we can close our doors. We can go out of business. And when they talked over with some of their Christian brethren whether or not they should sign a contract with the labor union, they were faced with such issues as this. If we do that, a contract for a closed shop, which is legal under California state law, we will have to fire some of our Christian brethren whose convictions are that they shouldn't belong to a labor union. And one of them happened to be Ralph, who's the son of Brother Lyman Johnson, a Christian. Imagine Brother Lyman have to fire his own son in order to have a labor union contract. Imagine having to fire and discriminate against Christian brethren because we've got to sign a contract with the labor union. Brother Wilbur and Lyman said we'll go out of business first. That ties in with your song, Stan. That ties in with setting your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We were privileged to bring that out, that we believe in consistency, and our position is consistent. She said brilliantly consistent. Well, it wasn't our brilliance. It's the wisdom of God, and we've learned a little bit of it, thank God. Is there any other, maybe one, who'd like to mention something?
I thank the Lord for the opportunity of being there, and it was interesting how clearly she saw the situation, and one of the things that she brought out was that the labor union didn't even offer to deduct, take the union amount and give it to charity, and not go to the union. Not that we would be in agreement with that, but the union didn't even make that offer. The company didn't make any offer of giving them a janitor's position or any other position there in the plant that is non-union. And she brought up so many things after being there from 11 to 2, a little over 3 hours, and she was on the phone almost a half hour to Washington, and approximately 15 minutes to Dalford Todd. She really waxed eloquent in going to talking to these attorneys in Washington. And when you think of the massive size of the union, massive size of the North American Rockwell, of course, it's nothing to our God, but she said, we'll destroy them. But anyway, it was thrilling being there. Let's again pray for her that she might come good always with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, it would seem that the purity of the situation, the stand that we have, she has grasped that from her legal end of it.
Amen.
She sees what it will offer her legally.
Yes.
Amen.
That seems to be what she's glorying in.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. May God help her to see that she wouldn't have this if it weren't for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Him.
We endeavored, and I think she got to some real degree, that our fidelity is not to some human organization, our human brain, our human leader as such, but to the person of Jesus Christ. I think maybe she got some glimpse of that. At least we hope so. Yes.
I thought on one occasion to make the difference between whether we were doing this in order not to pay union dues, Brother Wilbur suggested or stated that we would be willing to take a cut in wages, say for, and the figure was given, instead of taking $200 a month for our week for our wage, we would take 194, whatever the, to, but not to take
the union dues.
Right. Not to deduct the union dues from our check, but just take a cut in wages.
Mm-hmm.
Equal to that much. So she, I think, appreciated that. We weren't trying to, not to be cheap, in other words, to pay the dues.
She herself pressed us. She said, when you get before the judge, he's going to want to know whether or not it's just a matter of you're unwilling to give up a few dollars. And so we talked it over together there. Brother Wilbur made the suggestion that I'm sure we're certainly in accord with, that let them pay us less. We'll not be responsible then. It won't be us voluntarily doing something with money that's ours. It will never have been our money in the first place.
If pressed real hard, well, couldn't you give it to them and let them, couldn't you give it to their charitable, one of their charitable institutions or their charitable portions, that they're connected with, and we explained you couldn't do that.
No.
So it looked like you were a little bit difficult.
Yes. We didn't get into as much detail as we might have on what we consider charity and what we don't consider charity, that the Community Chest and the United Fund and so forth does. Those funds support religious institutions in their so-called charitable works, and we'll have no part in supporting Roman Catholicism, in supporting Salvation Army, in supporting other religious, supposed charitable works. They're a part of those religious movements. Yes.
In answer to this, I explained to her, I said, we believe in, this is an internal matter, but we believe in just two destinies for mankind. I said, we believe that there are just two destinies. One, on the one hand, to leave this earth, to be forever with the Lord, a place of joy and happiness, and eternal joy. And the other, to go to hell,
yes,
and be cast into the lake of fire, refers to another place of blackness, darkness, forever. And I explained that you might think about that.
Mm-hmm. Not, of course, that Kenneth gave up his labor union job to gain heaven and escape hell, but because of the fact of eternal issues.
Earl, one of the things that the union has constantly said to us is that you're willing for us to do all the hard work and fight with the employer so that you can get our benefits, and yet you not be a contributor to it. I've been thinking about that. All of them are recipients of the sun, the rain, the air, the food that's on here, but how many of them love the Creator and Giver of it?
Yes. And the one that...
They take the benefits of it, but they're not willing to give unto Him the glory due unto His name.
Yeah,
not only that, but we as Christians don't need labor unions.
Amen.
Our God has promised to supply all our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We're not in poverty.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And by the way, mentioning labor union benefits, by whom do we have the wonderful benefit of terrible inflation? By whom do the people who are on fixed incomes, such as pensions, and don't get the tremendous raises of $3 and $4 an hour over a 3 or 4 year period of time, and get poorer and poorer and poorer, and in difficult financial straits, whom should they thank for that? Thank for that, if it isn't the demanding labor unions. Not saying a word in favor of the gold-grabbing, profiteering bosses, employers, because they have their part too. In Adam, it's all the same, whether it's labor union or management in itself. But we're talking from the standpoint of God's word and God's commands, His children. and that we certainly can use some of these things when we have opportunity. Well, these are some things worth joyfully commenting on, aren't they? I wish that were all that we in our Christian life and walk here on earth were faced with. I wish that was the only kind of thing that I had occasion to have part in as a Christian.